Hi, I'm Talissa.
And I'm Rachel, and this is Transatlantic Crime, a true crime podcast that covers stories from each side of the pond. Every week, we will both cover a separate story with a running theme.
Disclaimer, this podcast will contain swearing and details that some people may find offensive. If you are of a sensitive disposition, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transatlantic Crime.
So close. I am recording.
Hi.
What time do you have to be at work?
About 50
like
minutes.
Officially. 50.
50. So 10 a.m.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I start work at 9:30, which is pretty good.
And you finish at 5?
No, I finish at 5:30. I had to say to my boss, I'm recording a podcast, so... He was like, yeah, whatever, just make the time up. I was like, I don't see anyone writing anything down, so. But yeah,
that's
good. Get to use the cupboard again, which is great.
Yeah, good sound place. I don't know what to call it.
So I wanted to tell you about, well, I think I did tell you about it. There's a podcast called Reply All.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And there's episode 166 is called Country of Liars.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's called. And it's basically about the guy that started 8chan.
Yeah.
So 8chan, like, is where QAnon, like, started, basically.
Okay.
He started it, and then someone else bought it, and then he just had to sit there and, like, watch it just go into madness. So it's like, and also he's got some sort of like brittle bone disease and he's in a wheelchair.
Oh.
And so he's like, he was really focused on starting the forum.
Yeah.
Cause he spent a lot of time online.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't like get out too much. So yeah, but he's just so interesting, like, to listen to. And,
yeah.
And basically I found out that like, so if you don't know, QAnon is a group of mentalists who believe that like Trump is like fighting an underground pedophile ring that's run by like the Obamas and Hillary Clinton and all this shit.
Pizzagate, right?
Pizzagate, which if you don't know, just Google it. It's fucking, that is just a swamp to get down.
Yes, a swamp
it's
of
so heavy
sludge and shit and.
It's, I mean, it's not even like, you know, like the red string meme. It's not even
yes.
a red string meme.
Like, no.
It's just like attached with lines of shit.
No, it's like walking into a hoarder's house. That's what it's like.
Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason.
Yeah. Like, why have you kept this Kit Kat wrapper from like 20 years ago? Oh, you know. Do I?
There's a reason.
That is what QAnon's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... So yeah, and basically it all started with a guy on a forum named Q.
Mm.
And
yeah.
And basically they think that he's just a troll, but it got really out of hand.
Yes. Like, yeah.
And then people started believing what he said was true. And like me and my friend James, the one who did the Chris Benoit episode, the guy who did that, and the guy who did the Patreon episode about Judas Priest, like we were talking about it and he was like, what I don't understand is, because he writes like coded messages, like coded mm-hmm. in quotation marks.
Right.
Like, and the coded messages like tell you state secrets. And then James was like, why would somebody sharing state secrets make them into such a like easy to break code?
Yeah.
Like, you're either telling us or you're not.
Right. Like,
it's just such a good point.
It really is. It's just like, what?
It's like the fucking Times crossword for mentalists.
It's what somebody who is trolling would do to pretend like they know something.
Like
oh, this has
this.
Yeah, this has to be secret. No one can find out, but if you crack it, then you've found out. And then everyone just cracks it.
Yeah. And there's also a guy on there that talks about like the codes and stuff. No, sorry, it's a woman And she basically says that, like, she was really into QAnon. In fact, I don't even know if this is on the same podcast because I listened to loads. But she said that she was really into QAnon. But obviously, it was after something horrible had happened in her life.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, they always get you when you're down.
Well, yeah, that's my theory is, like, when people get into conspiracy theories and they, like, I like conspiracy theories, but I'm not, like, sucked into them and trying to shout from the rooftops that they're all true.
You don't, like, believe them apart from the Epstein one. Let's not get into that again.
Yeah. and a couple others. Yeah. But, yeah, we should do another conspiracy theories episode.
Definitely.
Like, I really do think that it's part of... Like, when people get sucked into it, it's because they don't want to face something else in their life.
Yeah, or, you know, they're looking for an answer as to why all this bad shit happened.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, bad shit just happens to people.
Right.
Like, bad shit happens to good people. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Like, it's not one big conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and this woman said that she stopped believing in QAnon, like, in an instant because she saw that he wrote Bible quotes in his updates. They're called drops or something. Like, the people who are involved in it call it, like, a Q drop.
Right.
When he makes a post. And, yeah, she was like, he started writing Bible verses. And she was like, nope, fuck off. She was, because she's not religious. And then she was like, he's just, like, that's just marketing.
Right.
Like, he's just, like, basically, like, trying to reach the Christian audience. Because he just realized that, like, a lot of right-wing Christians are really into it. So he's just like, right, what can I do to get more followers?
Yeah.
And she's like, that's not giving away secrets. That's just trying to market yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, that kind of snapped her out of it.
That's good.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
I wish it would happen to more people.
Snapping out of it, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
I agree. Maybe it will. There's still hope. You never know.
I hope this is just a blip on the fucking...
Well, it's like last week, like, going over the satanic panic. It's like we did get over it, but it just caused so many...
Oh, so much shit
issues that followed it and so much cleanup that people had to do. So I feel like we're just in the same boat with QAnon and Pizzagate and all these different things. Yeah.
Yeah. I just saw a bloke come out of the loo and, like, he was still doing up his flies as he came out of the loo. I was like, how busy are you?
Like, can't talk, gotta go.
No time to explain.
Yeah.
I used to love those memes that were like, it was like a cow and a goat in a car and, like, a pig on the roof. And then it'd be like, get in, no time to explain. Do you remember them?
Yes. Yes.
They were great.
Love it.
They were great.
I'll
post one on the socials.
Do it.
For my enjoyment, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all enjoy it, Talissa.
Oh, no. One quick thing I wanted to touch on, and I'll do it quick, is... John McAfee died.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, for people who don't know who he is, he's a guy that did McAfee, the virus protection.
Yeah.
And then, didn't he kill someone? And then he, like, ran to Barbados or some shit.
Bunch of stuff. And maybe we'll do an episode on him. That would be interesting. But he died in a prison. This past week.
Yeah, committed suicide, right? Because he was going to get extradited, I think.
Well, supposedly. I feel like when you die in prison, that's their go-to of saying, like, oh yeah, it was suicide.
Oh, what, so they'd have to admit that they weren't watching people properly in case they
probably
attacked him.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I see what you're saying. Also, he liked to be shit on through a hammock. They used to, like, cut a hole in a hammock and shit on his face.
That's who you were talking about.
That can't go without mentioning.
I saw your Instagram and I was like, are they talking about a guy that they just met? Like, who are they talking about?
No. No. So apparently, like, the sex workers that on the private or the island that he, like, ran off to were like, they have a documentary about him. I think it's just called McAfee. But they have, the sex workers in it are just like, they're obviously from the island. And they're like, he just liked us to cut a hole in a hammock and shit on him.
What? How do you even discover that?
I know. How do you know that's your thing?
Yeah. What the hell?
Oh, God. Yeah. And then everyone was like, how much would you charge? And I was like, I'd shit on his face for the right price. I was like, to be fair, I shit on a lot of people for free. So
I'd get stage fright. I wouldn't be able to.
You'd have to take some laxatives, I think.
Yeah, yeah, that'd probably be the case.
Yeah, and Sarah said 10 grand for her, which I thought was fair price.
I feel like that's low. I feel like you could higher. Yeah.
You could go higher, but like we're talking about bottom line.
Like, okay, minimum.
I said 2 grand minimum.
What? That's so
Mate,
cheap.
Times are tough. I'll shit on someone for 2 grand.
Anybody who's doing that, I feel like, should ask for at least 50.
It's not even sexual, like, for me. Like, he's not going to touch me.
Yeah, but it's so specific. It's like, okay, I'm not going to do it for you then unless you give me 50 grand.
That's true. Okay, yeah, let's get into the story. So it's you go first this week, right?
All right, yeah. So this week we are talking about ransoms.
Yeah, this was good. I can't believe you haven't done it before.
Yeah, good theme choice. Good idea.
Have we done kidnapping before?
I think we have. Yeah.
Have we?
It's just been too long.
Kind of similar.
Don't know.
No, we're not mentioning that. So, okay. Yeah. I chose this because I had a story in mind.
Mm.
And sometimes that's when the themes are more exciting, like when you...
Yeah.
When you can think of a story and then drag a theme from that, I think.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I was saying to you that when I was researching this, then I came across, you know, list of top 5 ransom notes. And one of them was JonBenet Ramsey's. And it was just
Mate, don't get me started on that fucking
joke. It's so ridiculous. It's so silly.
The thing that fucks me off, right, not only is the ransom note shit
and
unbelievable.
Yes.
Not the least convincing thing ever. They also have a fucking pad of paper and a pen that they use from their own house right next to the phone. And then they leave, like, the police find, like, imprints of their fucking biro where they practiced it.
Yeah.
So, like, there's different versions of the same letter on the pad that they've obviously ripped up and thrown away or burnt or something.
Oh my
gosh. How long do you think these kidnappers had in their house?
Yeah. No, that's too... No. I'm just imagining, like, kidnappers, like, no, that's not right, tearing a piece of paper. That's too polite. You have to be meaner.
Oh, come on. Come on, Dickens, get on with it. Yeah. It's embarrassing, like, how bad that is.
It really is. I just love how in one part of it, it's like, this is going to be very taxing, so you better get some rest. It's like, what kidnapper is going to say that?
I know. So make sure you brush your teeth.
Yeah. Yes.
Bring a jacket. It's meant to be nippy on Friday.
I feel like that's a clue as to who wrote it.
Yeah, I mean, like, yes, very much so. Yeah, 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 the mum.
Yeah.
Also, it's like, yeah, who is writing this? My grandma.
Right.
Fucking mad. Anyway, so was there any other really good ones on there, on the list?
There was, obviously, the Lindenberg one. And I read that, actually, ransom notes are very rare in the U.S., so there aren't that really? Many cases. Yeah, they are, like, around the world, especially in, like, South America or it happens all the time. But in the US, it's pretty rare.
Yeah, I think because they know that, well, isn't it, like, South America is quite famous for kidnapping in general.
Yeah.
Like, and holding people for ransom. Like, you're pretty likely to be kidnapped, and then they call your family and they're like, give us cash or we'll kill them. And they do that all the time.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really risky to cross the border from, like, Honduras to Mexico and da-da-da.
Yeah.
If I got the geography wrong, probably. But you know what I mean? Like, when people try to get to America, like, they try to get to Honduras and then get the bus or something, or...
I'm not sure. It's usually Mexico that... Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, from...
The main place that you can get to Mexico from is Honduras.
Right, like, that's like, right, yeah.
That's like the nearest to South America to get the train to Mexico.
Yeah.
So like that's where they all... Because I watched like a program on it and there's like shitloads of people like just sit on top of the train.
Right.
Or like they're like hitching a ride basically, like for free.
Yeah.
And it's really dangerous. Like if the train stops at night, everyone's like, fuck, because like kidnappers come along and like drag you off the train.
Terrifying.
Because they know you're going to have money.
Right. To get to another country.
Anyway, sorry.
No, I'm just saying like that's how it's common in places like that, but not in America.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's also like a lot of surveillance and there's...
Yeah. And in America, they have like, because it doesn't happen so often, they have like FBI agents that will look at your handwriting and we'll test the paper for DNA. And like we just devote a lot more time to it because it's so less common.
Exactly. So let's get into my ransom note this week.
I'm excited.
I won't say the title because I feel like that kind of gives it away. So Robert Arthur Wiles was born September 23rd, 1981, in Sylvania, Ohio. He grew up in a wealthy family. His father, Tom Wiles, owned an Ohio-based company servicing privately owned aircrafts. The company was called National Flight Service, and Tom had branches of NFS in Ohio, Texas, Florida, and Canada. So pretty successful business.
He's doing all right.
So Robert was known to be a very level-headed young man who was athletic, loved fishing, and was excited to be part of his dad's business. He was training to be a pilot, and he moved to Florida to be a part of the Lakeland, Florida branch of NFS, where his father placed him in various departments of the business so he could learn from the ground up.
Nice.
Robert was named the business development manager in the sales department, despite not having a lot of business experience.
Fucking nepotism.
Yeah.
This is nepotism gold wild. Yes,
and we're going to talk about that. But also, I think he was like mid-20s at this point.
What a little squirt. Telling everyone what to do.
But they did say, like, he was very serious about his job. He wasn't like, yeah, I'm, you know, my dad's son and I can do whatever I want. Yeah. Like, he was taking things very seriously and he knew, like, the shoes he was stepping into, basically.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll lay off him.
But he still didn't have a lot of business experience. So he apparently had a lot of ideas and suggestions, but his ideas fell flat with some of the other employees. He was also able to travel for work. His position allowed him to travel to other parts of the US, Canada, Thailand, the Caribbean, and Central America.
What a life.
Yeah, exactly. His ease of placement to a higher position in the family business caused friction within the company, with some employees openly disgruntled.
Disgruntled is such a good word.
I know, I love it.
When do you never use that about yourself?
No.
You only use it about other people.
I'm going to start to.
How are you feeling today? Disgruntled.
Yes. That's a...
Let's get that going.
When my go-to is frustrated, like when I'm at work and I'm like angry, or like when we're talking in couples therapy, then the therapist will say... How do you feel?
I think it's a lot of air in there.
They'll say, how do you feel? I'll say frustrated, but I'm going to start saying disgruntled. I feel disgruntled.
Frustrated is such a fair word.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're not blaming anyone.
No.
And you're not like, it's not like angry is like, oh shit. Whereas like,
exactly.
I'm frustrated. Suggest there's a solution to this. You're so amiable.
Yes, and that's what I've learned in therapy is that I am, and I need to not be. I'm allowed to be angry, not just frustrated.
You need to be a fucking cunt from hell, mate, like me.
Yeah, exactly. But so these employees were disgruntled. I'm sure they were frustrated and angry, too.
Yeah, okay.
So... Robert Wiles was last seen in his office at the Lakeland Linder Regional Airport at 6:30 p.m. on April 1st, 2008. He was due to fly to Dallas for a trade show the next day, but his family discovered that he never made it on the flight. On the morning of April 3rd, 2 days after Robert had gone missing, Tom Wiles received an email from an unrecognized address. It read, "Subject, Robert. We have Robert. If you hope to see him alive again, you must follow our instructions without deviation. exclamation point. Number one, do not speak about this to anyone, including family. Tell everyone Robert is ill. Number two, do not contact any authorities or private parties. Number three, obtain an item of luggage of the appropriate size and place in $750,000 in a small, unmarked, untraceable bills. Number four.
I love that they're like, don't you dare put it in a bag that's too big for it. I don't want those notes rattling around.
Make sure it's the appropriate size.
Yeah. Turn up and you've got like a fucking roadie case like they have on Breaking Bad, like Venomous Pest. And it's got like 50 grand just in the middle of the bottom.
Like it fits a whole piano in it, but it's got one
roll. I'm going to make it as inconvenient for you as possible.
No, make sure it's not that. So number four, place the luggage containing the money in a plain cardboard box and ship it to your Lakeland facility with detailed instructions that it is highly confidential materials for a special project that your son is working on. You should instruct someone you trust to place the box unopened in your son's office. Number five, this must be completed by the evening of the 8th. No excuses, no exceptions. That's in capital letters. No excuses, okay. No exceptions. Remember, we are watching everything, and if you think you can outsmart us, it will cost your son his life. Group X.
Right. So they're asking them to put the ransom in his son's office. In his own building.
Yeah. Yep.
Not like under the bridge. No. Like in park.
Right.
Like a building you own.
Yep. With probably security cameras.
So I'm a sitting duck.
Yeah. And also.
This is bullshit.
Yeah, I mentioned this later, but his office was, it was like imagine like a airplane warehouse. So there's like this huge space and then upstairs is the office that can like look down
like
into the space.
It.
Yeah. And his.
Yeah. Like, I forgot it was an airline thing.
Yeah. So his office was kind of in this corner. There was only one entryway and they were saying like that. That's really stupid of someone to say because there would be no escape for them if...
It's just the shittest pickup point ever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not like a park where you have 10 million different places to run. It's one room with one door that you have nowhere to go.
Fucking amateurs.
Yeah.
Also, when is it... So, the last time he never gets on the flight he's supposed to get on.
Yeah.
And then do you know the time difference between then and getting the email? Was it like, do you know, does it say or?
Yeah, so the last time he was seen was on April 1st in the evening, like end of work day. He was supposed to get on to a flight the next day, April 2nd. He wasn't. So his family were like, where's Robert? And then April 3rd is when they read the email from Group X.
Again, Group X is sloppy because they could have reported him missing like in between. So they're like, oh, just say he's ill. Well, they could have already said to loads of people, where the fuck is he?
Right.
So foolish.
And also, I'm looking at the email now and it says it was sent on April 2nd in the evening at 6 p.m. But his dad didn't open the email until the next morning. So...
It's the dad's sloppiness.
Well, maybe
good,
not
good for
even.
Him, though,
I
not
mean,
checking his emails out of work time.
Well, it was sent at 5:59 p.m. So there's a chance was already checked out.
He is out of it. He is. He's got a margarita in his hand.
Yeah,
and his tie is around his head.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I made a mistake. It wasn't sent from an unrecognized address. It was sent from Robert's email. That's another point.
Well, yeah, they could have his phone or whatever.
Yep, we'll get into that.
His laptop.
Yeah.
Yep.
So despite being told not to contact any authorities, Tom Wiles immediately called the FBI. FBI began working with the local police departments, the Polk County Sheriff's Office, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and the state police, as well as law enforcement in Ohio. So Tom Wiles was in Ohio while Robert lived in Florida.
What do the fish guys have to do with it?
In case he was missing and like the, because he was known to be like a avid fisher. So maybe he fell off a boat or...
Your American jurisdiction spin me out. Like, just have one. You've got people of too many cooks, man. Like,
I don't know. I think in this case it was helpful because it was over two states. So they had to bring in the FBI since it was over two states. So they searched Wiles' home, Robert Wiles' home. He lived in an apartment at the time of his disappearance. A neighbor stated that he normally kept the apartment neat and orderly, but when the authorities searched it after his apparent abduction, it was in disarray, with papers strewn on the stairs and the cushions pulled off the couch. And I don't know if that was the neighbor saying, like, that's how it was before the cops got there, or if the cops came and just completely ransacked his house looking for clues. I don't really know. They also began interviewing the over 100 employees that were part of the National Flight Service. Tom and his wife, Pamela, who were living in Toledo, Ohio at the time, decided to comply with the ransom note, and they wired the demanded $750,000 to a Florida bank in preparation to give it to the kidnappers, even though the FBI didn't want them to do that.
Like, surely you can't just open a bank account willy-nilly. Like, surely they know who owns that bank account. This is what I don't get.
They were in Ohio, and they just wanted their son, so they wired their money in Ohio to their bank.
Oh, to his account.
In Florida. It's the same. Yeah. Right. They were just doing it in preparation to like take it out in small bills or whatever.
I get you.
So when the media caught on to the stories, investigators declined to discuss many details common in missing persons cases. Like, they kept it, a lot of it, under wraps. They would not say whether there had been any activity in Robert's bank accounts or on his cell phone, which was a big point to keep secret at the time, or whether he had a car that was abandoned at the Lakeland airport the evening he disappeared. They would also not share the details of how much the Wiles paid in ransom. That wasn't known.
Okay.
This is because in preparation in paying the ransom, the FBI advised the Wiles not to pay the ransom amount. Instead, on April 8th, the due date for the ransom, the Wiles placed a box filled with coffee bags equal to the weight of the bills and placed it on a desk outside of Robert's office in view of hidden cameras in the room. A SWAT team...
That's perfect.
Yeah. A SWAT team were nearby, ready and waiting to move in. Tom Wiles also recruited one of his closest and most trusted employees, Toby Holt, to help out the FBI by switching out the security camera tapes when they were full. So somebody was, they just set up cameras at work and Toby Holt was switching out the tapes.
Good job, Toby.
However, no one came to pick up the box. Surprise, surprise. Investigators were also perplexed by the location the ransom cash was supposed to be picked up. It didn't make sense that the request was to leave it in Robert's office, which is what I was talking about earlier, where there were minimal entryways.
I agree with you.
Yeah. There were minimal entryways and not many places to escape if the supposed Group X were caught. So,
which they definitely would be.
Exactly.
If they fucking went in there.
Yeah. I feel like, anywhere in that place, like any office.
Just leave the ransom in the prison and then that'll save me time.
Right. Throw it in the dump out the back. Like, that would be smarter.
I've never gotten like the whole ransom thing because somebody has to pick up the fucking money. So you're just going to watch until someone turns up and picks up the money.
Exactly.
So I don't get, it's the most foolish like endeavor.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, go on.
So in talking to employees, investigators found that Tom had recently fired an employee, Steve Lindsay, who had been intoxicated while at work. He was a mechanic. Lindsay wanted his job back, and when he was refused, he made aggressive threats against Tom Wiles. This was a month before Robert's disappearance. So he was on their books.
Yeah.
When investigators traced Robert's cell phone, they found that the ransom note was sent from his own cell phone. So hence his own email. They were also able to track the location path of the phone in the days after the disappearance. They found that the cell phone was on the Polk Parkway, a toll road, which had a booth. A call had been made from the booth location. Obviously, toll booths have cameras everywhere.
Yeah. Sloppy. Sloppy criminal.
Yeah. So a call had been made from the booth location. In checking the booth cameras, investigators caught a familiar car going through. A car belonging to a National Flight Service employee. Furthermore, the camera caught the inside of the car, where someone clearly had a phone held up to their ear. So... So stupid. That someone was trusted NFS employee Toby Holt.
Toby?
Who was also the last person to see Robert at work.
Oh, my face. I am aghast.
Yeah. You're that monkey that has no clue.
Yeah. What?
When investigators began looking deeper into the whereabouts of Toby Holt after Robert's disappearance, they found that his alibi he had given did not hold up. He told investigators that he went to a restaurant and bar the night of Robert's disappearance. However, there was no receipt and no witnesses claiming to see Toby in any restaurant or bar that night.
I was asleep in my hotel room. That is the perfect alibi. Do you know what I mean? Like, why are you naming places you were that have CCTV and receipts?
And people everywhere.
Think, Toby.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Like, how angry would you have to be? How jealous would you have to be of someone's son having a job that was higher than you? I don't know.
I mean, dude, that's just the way of the world. It's not like he worked hard for it and he's better than you. Like, there's a good reason why he got that job above you.
Right.
Because of who his dad is. It's not like...
I know.
Yeah.
I think it's telling that he was one of the most trusted employees, which means that he probably worked really hard and he was pretty pissed off when...
He's like Smithers.
Yes, exactly.
Secretly in love with Tom.
So no receipt from the restaurant, no witnesses. They checked his cell phone records, seeing that he called Home Depot on the night of the disappearance. Do you have Home Depot in England? I forget.
No, we have something called Home Base, which is basically the same thing.
Right, right.
But I kind of get the vibe that Home Depot is a bit like budget, whereas like Home Base is actually quite expensive.
Really?
Well, not expensive, but it's not like a bargain. Like, is Home Depot like bargain, or is it just it is what it is?
It is what it is. It's like the Walmart of construction stores. It's like there's an array of like, you know, cheap things and expensive things.
Yeah, I feel like this should be on the bingo. Maybe it is or maybe it isn't, where it's like bought some murdery shit from a home improvement store.
I think it should be. We should definitely. We've got to get back to that.
So
bingo sheet.
So many do that.
Yeah.
So many hit that one. We'll do a version two because I feel like we got some fresh ones.
Yes, definitely. He called Home Depot on the night of the disappearance. Witnesses at Home Depot say they saw him buy heavy-duty plastic bags and several rolls of duct tape, but.
No.
He denied that those were purchases that he made and there were no receipts to show. And also Home Depot didn't have surveillance of him being there because they wiped the tapes the next day.
Oh, that's just kind of fucking hearsay then.
Yeah. Yeah. The most damning evidence, however, was Holt's cell phone whereabouts. So his own cell phone.
Turn your phone off. Turn it off.
No, he did not do that. His cell phone matched up to the exact location path as Robert's cell phone in the days after his disappearance. The call he was making on the toll booth when he was caught at the toll booth making a call was to Robert's own voicemail. So,
just checking it, I guess.
Yeah, he was checking.
To see.
He was calling Robert's voicemail to see who had called him, I guess.
Yeah.
And they had that. I feel like that's pretty cut and clear evidence.
Why have you got his phone? Why have you got his phone after he's gone
missing? Why are you calling his voicemail? Why are you checking
that? Yeah, very good points. Yeah. I mean, if you've got his phone and it's all innocent, you should be like, hey, I found Robert's phone.
Right.
Robert's dad. I'll come and give it to you now. I won't go nosing about it.
No. You're keeping it.
Also, Robert, get a fucking passcode on your phone.
Did they have it at 2008? Was that a thing?
Oh, I don't know, actually. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was. I think it was.
I think that was just when smartphones happened. So maybe not.
Like to unlock a Nokia, it was like main button star.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toby Holt was arrested on December 18th, 2009, a year and a half after Robert had gone missing. While questioned, he denied everything. He said the Home Depot trip was for work. He was calling them to see if he could send someone from work to go pick up something.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators were also not able to account for 4 hours after Robert's disappearance, Toby Holt's location. Like they could check his cell phone, and he said that he was at restaurants and bars, but they could not find any kind of receipts, no Home Depot, no restaurant receipts, anything like that. They just had no idea where he actually was. So when he said that he was at the restaurant and bars, he said he paid cash, even though investigators found that his normal spending habits rarely involved cash. He mostly paid with a credit card. There's an interview I saw with one of the investigators, and he was like, this guy would go to the 7-Eleven and buy $7 condoms with a credit card. Do you really think that he's spending cash?
Is his point like the condoms are expensive or cheap?
Just like something that is $7, you would think you would just pay with cash.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He used a credit card. So I just think that he added in that he bought condoms.
Such a low blow.
Yeah. He said the thing he was holding in the photo surveillance at the toll booth was a can of soda. He was holding a can of soda up to his ear, not a cell phone.
What? Hello, Dr. Pepper.
That's what he was drinking. That's so weird.
No, that's such a good guess. To be fair, I fucking love Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I haven't had it in a long time.
It's because it's so sugary. You can't get a diet one. Yeah. But Carly's boyfriend said the other day, it's like fucking, he was like, I don't want that. It's like fucking Benadryl in a can. It so isn't, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when asked about his cell phone having the same location path as Robert's, Toby Holt claimed that he was probably being followed by Robert's kidnappers, and that's why the cell phone path was the same.
Dude, that's a fucking coinkydink. If ever I heard one.
Yep. So in January 2012, so about 4 years after Robert had gone missing, Toby stood trial. Prosecution relied heavily on circumstantial evidence. They said, in quotes, too many coincidences is not a coincidence. And that Holt's unexplained whereabouts for over 4 hours the night Robert disappeared was key. Defense relied on the fact that there were no body and focused their attention on disgruntled employee Steve Lindsay, who by this time he had died of natural causes, and he was kind of passed off like, okay, he didn't do it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they looked at his location data and,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, he's not here, so. Why don't I just blame the postman? Well,
and also look at, like, who has Robert's cell phone? That's the main point.
Defense attorneys really fuck me off when it's like, never mind that.
Right.
Like, never mind all that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? They have no answer for the real evidence.
Right.
They just, like, trump up some pokey evidence.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Like, look over here at this sketchy guy.
Yeah. And it's like, what? No.
Right.
Like, tell me why he had his phone.
Exactly.
Like, that's exactly what I want to hear from you.
Yeah. What do you think about this, defense lawyer? Okay, so... On January 31st, 2012, Toby Holt was found guilty of manslaughter, extortion, and writing a threatening letter in connection with Wilde's disappearance. Robert's body is still to this day missing. He is still marked he's still marked on the FBI Most Wanted list as missing and seeking information. You can see it on the FBI website. Robert's parents, Tom and Pamela Wiles, have offered a $10,000 reward for information leading to their son's return. Tom and Pamela Wiles have offered a $10,000 reward for information leading to their son's return. They said, anyone out there who knows our son or who has met our son knows the enthusiasm that he has for life, Pamela Wiles said. We'll do anything we can to get our son back. And that is the story of the disappearance of Robert Wiles and the ransom note from Group X.
Wow, that's so good.
Mm.
Such a good story. Well done. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
What was the show you were watching? Was it like a Forensic Files or something along that line?
48 Hours. And you can easily watch this on YouTube. That's where I saw the guy say about him buying condoms.
Like his cheap ass.
Yeah. They also go to prison and interview Toby Holt, who still is like, I didn't do it.
How are you? Anyway.
Yeah.
I just.
So watch it. Like that. You'll see it. It's just like.
I'm gonna watch it.
That's where he says, like, oh, someone was probably following me. That's why I had. the same cell phone path.
Oh, Toby, fucking hell, pull the other one, mate. It's got bells right. on. Like, so irritating.
Isn't it just much easier to tell the truth and not have that weight hanging over you?
You could have got way less time in prison, and you're never getting out because you won't admit it.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to admit guilt to get parole. How long did he get again? Do you know?
I'm not sure, actually. That was, 9 years ago? So it was one of those rare cases where they didn't have a body, but he was still convicted of manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, fuck that guy.
Exactly.
What a terrible person.
I know.
Also, what the fuck did Robert do to you? Poor guy.
They said that he was one of the guys that, like, Robert came to with a bunch of ideas. Like, hey, here's what I think we should do. And he was just like, no, I don't like these ideas.
That idea is so shit, I'm going to kill you. Yeah. God, calm down.
Right.
Everyone's allowed a mulligan, Toby.
Right.
Right. Okay, so my story this week... It happened so fucking recently. And also, funny side note, this is not the only time it's happened, like, to... Well, okay, right. It's called the Tesco blackmail incident.
Okay.
Tesco has been blackmailed a few times.
What?
So there's... Yeah, there's, like, a few Tesco blackmail incidents, but I'm talking about the most recent one.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
First of all, do you know what Tesco is? Like you do, but
yeah, it's
well, Americans know.
I think we've talked about it before, but Tesco, and actually, I think it's owned by the same people who own Walmart. Okay. So it's pretty much the same thing. Like you can get groceries. Sometimes they have clothes, right?
Yeah, in the biggest stores, they have clothes,
right?
Yeah, DVDs, like magazines,
right?
Stuff. Quite good homeware range. Mm. In the spring of 2018, A series of letters and emails were sent to the giant supermarket chain Tesco. The letters were threatening to contaminate baby food with salmonella, white powder, and razor blades. Babies? You're really going to target babies.
What? Also, baby food, you would immediately see a razor blade in there.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to put anything in there, just put, like, some more poisonous sauce. Not that I've thought this through, but, you know. So the writer claimed that he was part of a group of disgruntled farmers who were underpaid by Tesco for their milk.
There's that word again. Disgruntled.
Disgruntled. Oh, yeah. That is a sign that we need to bring it out. So he signed off letters with the names Guy Brush and the Dairy Pirates.
What?
I don't know who Guy Brush is. That's not relevant to anything. Dairy Pirates is obviously, he's just thought, that's a catchy name.
That's insane.
And shit. So basically the writer of the letters demanded £1.4 million in Bitcoin.
Okay.
So that's quite clever because it would be untraceable compared to a bank transfer or marked banknotes.
Right.
That is truly anonymous. The letter also contained threats that tins of fruit would be injected with cyanide and salmonella. Where do you get salmonella? as a separate entity?
I don't know. Like, do you make it yourself? Do you buy it?
Just gonna let an egg go really bad. I guess. So if you know where to get random salmonella, please let us know.
Old chicken. Right in. Scrape off old chicken. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a meat thing. Yeah. The police were contacted and a plan was hatched to get an undercover policeman to pose as a Tesco worker and engage in correspondence with the writer. So they just got an undercover police guy and they called him Sam. Mm. He's got a second name, actually. Where is it? Sam Scott, they called him.
Okay.
So, after writing back to the anonymous person, Sam, in quotes, received a reply stating, "Dear Sam, we have been polite and courteous as we recognise you're just an employee who goes home at the end of the day." kind. "We say you pay us, then we will email you. It appears we both failed to do what we said we would." Why are ransom letter writers so fucking illiterate?
I don't know.
It's just ramblings, isn't it? Of like a mental case. Right, so "It appears we both failed to do what we said we would. If you set up a bank account, you can purchase Bitcoin and transfer them into our account." It's a bit more convoluted than that. Yeah. I have bought Bitcoin.
Right.
So especially like 2 years ago, it was harder than it is now. "As a goodwill gesture, we will tell you, you have 8 jars of Cowan Gate baby food left on your supermarket shelves on Tuesday the 21st and Wednesday the 22nd of January. There were only 6 jars left, so only 6 potential dead babies." I guess he's saying like there's only 6 contaminated ones left, which he couldn't possibly know. Because you're not gonna go and like fish through it and go, "Oh yep, still razor blades of that one."
Like, but also if there's only 6 or 8 jars of baby foods, that's only 6 people that you have to look at who bought them, call them up and say, "Hey, don't feed that to your baby." The end.
Well, you and me both know that's not how product recalls work. They have to fucking get rid of absolutely everything.
Yes.
So Sam Scott then handed over $100,000 in Bitcoin to try and trap the blackmailer.
Okay.
But nothing came of that.
What?
So at this, so like they don't know who it was. They couldn't tell who it was that they gave the money to.
Okay.
It's all like anonymous. So he just fucking got away with like $100,000 at this point.
Oh, wow.
So at this point, Tesco weren't aware if all the threats were real. Like they hadn't had any reports of anybody saying there's stuff in this baby food,
or
my baby died because I ate your baby food. Right. Yeah. But in December, so this started in the spring of 2018, and it wasn't until December 2019 that Morvey Smith, a mother from Lockerbie, Scotland, was feeding her 10-month-old baby. She had already given her a few spoonfuls of Heinz sweet and sour chicken baby food when she saw something shiny in the bowl. She pulled out some shards of metal, which turned out to be a broken up razor blade.
Whoa.
She said, "It was horrendous. I felt sick. I was so shocked." She threw away the pot and informed Tesco's, but the baby was fine.
Good.
But by the time the police were alerted to what she'd found, it was too late to recover CCTV from the store.
Okay.
So the next victim was in Rochdale in Greater Manchester, where Harpreet Kaur Singh discovered some metal in a jar of Heinz Sunday chicken dinner. These sound gross. And a jar of cheesy pasta stars. They sound okay.
Yeah.
While I'd feeding her 9-month-old daughter. I'd eat that. I wouldn't eat like whizzed up chicken dinner.
No.
At first, she didn't think any... This woman is fucking legendary. Like, the first woman is like, oh, God, I better tell Tesco. I better tell the police.
Yeah.
This woman finds a fucking metal in two separate jars of baby food and just throws it away and goes, oh, well.
What?
Doesn't tell anyone. No.
Like, I feel like that sounds like she was like, oh, I must have put that there by accident.
Like, one of my other kids did it.
Yeah.
Or I did
it. Must be a prank.
Or, like, I'm so tired, right. I did it.
Yes.
Or I'm just too fucking tired to care.
What other evidence has she thrown away or seen as a mother, a tired mother?
Oh, fuck it. However, in the next couple of days, she noticed similar shards in more of the baby food that she bought from that branch. And, like, that was the end. She was like, right, that's it.
This definitely wasn't me.
No. Yeah, she's like, Jimmy? Yes? Did you put shards of metal in your sister's baby food?
Do this again?
No. Jimmy's been at school a week, so it definitely wasn't him this time. Like, the other one was on the weekend. Like... She said, it was like shredded chippings of metal. My husband is a construction worker and he saw the metal and he knew what it was, basically.
Okay.
So she's so tired, she thinks she's fucking hallucinating. She's like, dude, can you just look at this and tell me?
Did you do this?
Yeah. I reckon he was the one that went, that is metal. You need
normal.
To tell someone. Oh, she's like, fine. I'll just pop that on my fucking to-do list. Along with everything else you want me to do.
Now I have to clean up your metal shards that you left in the baby bottle for some reason. What's next?
Fucking Harpreet can't catch a break.
What's next? Sawdust in the diapers?
I've had it with this house. So she eventually reported them. And then, she reported it to Tesco after hearing that they had recalled thousands of baby jars, following the incident involving Morvey Smith.
Okay.
So she was like, oh shit, this must be a thing.
Yeah. I just imagine her, her call to police or Tesco, like, listen, I'm really busy. I just want to let you know there was metal in my baby food. Okay, goodbye. I have stuff to do. On to the next thing.
Good day to you.
Yes.
So Tesco was forced to issue a product recall of 42,000 jars after the contaminated jars were found in Lockerbie and Rochdale.
Okay.
Other threatening letters to Tesco warning that unidentified products would be contaminated meant more than 140,000 jars also had to be recalled.
Wow.
So all in all, two nationwide recalls on Cowangate and Heinz baby food were carried out, meaning 180,000 products were cleared from the shelves. This cost Tesco £2.7 million, including lost gross revenue and refunds, which affected 20 product ranges.
Okay.
A spokesman for the supermarket stated, "We have not been able to find any other contaminated products in the 18 months or more since we got the original threats." So they're the only two reported.
Okay.
Basically. Also, it's like, I wonder, it didn't say, but like, I wonder if those women got any like compensation or anything.
Probably not.
No, but like they could have.
Yeah, they could have sued, right?
They could have said, like, you got letters in 2018 telling you that baby food was being contaminated, and it wasn't until December 2019 that you decided to do something about it because we found a razor blade that could have fucking cut my baby.
Right.
So, like, surely there's... I'm not a lawyer, but surely there's a case there.
There's definitely... Maybe they did.
Surely.
We'll give them the benefit of the doubt and...
Maybe it was out of court or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh shit, please don't go to court.
Right.
Have some cash.
We're so sorry. Here you go.
So Operation Hancock, as the investigation was codenamed, was led by the Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire major crime units with the help of the National Crime Agency. It was the largest blackmail investigation in the UK at times, involving more than 100 police officers, with 30 officers watching CCTV around the clock.
Wow.
The Food Standards Agency, Food Standards Scotland, Public Health England and Public Health Scotland and Scotland Police were also involved. So this is fucking
Do you
big.
Remember this? Like, what?
No. Oh, well, I'll tell you what I do remember, but I can't right now because otherwise it'll give away the story.
Okay.
But
okay.
I remember the headline and being smug at the headline, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
Okay.
A man was spotted on CCTV from a Tesco in Lockerbie. He was wearing a hunter jacket and a beanie hat, and he was seen putting a tampered jar of baby food on a shelf before buying a bottle of wine and flowers, which turned out to be for his wife, and more baby food. So the baby food that he placed on the shelf contained the broken blade of a craft knife.
What?
Yeah.
How messed up do you have to be to put stuff in baby food?
Well, you just have to be an absolute asshole.
Right. Like,
just evil. That's just evil.
Put it in like a can of beans or like a bottle of vodka, but baby food?
I know, right? I guess he was just thinking of like the most threatening thing.
Yeah.
Like people are going to go, oh, well, if some idiot like eats a bit of razor blade out of a bean, then whatever. But like, we cannot let babies
right.
eat razor blades.
Right.
Like, that's not
all the moms
cool.
were going to rise up against Tesco and tell him to pay the ransom.
Yeah.
That's probably what they were thinking.
It'll be a mum's net issue.
Yeah.
Nobody likes mum's net.
No.
Do you know what mum's net is?
No. What is it?
All right.
It?
So mum's net is like a forum of mums.
Oh.
So it's just like.
Yeah. I've heard of this.
1,000 Karens in one place.
Yes. Like, I've heard of this.
It's fucking. It's ridiculous. Right. And there's also. There's like famous posts that like go viral from
yeah.
it that are just weird. So like one of them was this woman was like, you can ask anything on there. You can be like childcare, like what do you
right.
do if your kid's ill, like
yeah.
all sorts of stuff, like relationship advice. It's kind of like Reddit, but exclusively mum.
Right.
And they say on there, like one woman put a thing up going, does anybody else have a cup of water by the side of their bed? And when you've had sex with your husband, you just get them to dip their cock in the water rather than have a shower.
What?
And everyone was like, no. But the post just
what
went viral.
Hell?
And then, like, for ages, everyone was like, did you see that mum's net post about the dick cup? And everyone
That's
was like,
crazy.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I can't believe I told you about that. Anyway, yeah, that's mum's net. Nobody wants to be fucking posted about on there.
Yeah. I'm going to look at more. I want to see that.
Just don't actually look at mum's net. Just Google like mum's
right.
net viral posts.
Viral posts.
Like,
yeah.
Curate the best.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time looking
no,
through for
I don't want to sift through the shit.
Someone has done that job for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone has done God's work and put them
yes.
all together.
Thank you. Whoever you are.
Yeah. You are truly an angel. Okay. The guy who they caught, his name was Nigel Wright, and he was a 45-year-old man. He was married, and he was a father of two.
Okay.
So, absolutely, like, normal guy.
Yeah.
Not on the fringes of society, not, like, in just been released from a psychiatric ward.
Right.
Like, normal guy.
Okay.
So, on the 25th of February, 2020, Nigel Wright was arrested at his family home outside Market Ranson in Lincolnshire. Wright was found with a piece of paper listing 20 products that he wanted to use for contamination.
What?
brazen.
Yeah.
Just walking around with that shit in your pocket. Also, what your wife finds out when she puts your fucking trousers in the wash.
Right. What, like, what is this list here? Oh, that's my grocery list.
Sodium. Yeah. So police found photos of contaminated baby food on his laptop with jars identical to those found in Rochdale.
Okay.
They also found drafted blackmail notes that he didn't send, but he was going to send. He believed that he could get rich without leaving any trace of his identity by using cryptocurrency. And he also used the Tor browser to send the emails. Mm-hmm. So Tor browser is just a browser that, like, you can't trace your IP address.
Like, yeah, it's like incognito. It's
what people used to get on the dark. Yeah, people use it to get on the dark web.
Right.
A draft. So they also found a draft of an email to Tesco on one of his devices, which partly read, "Imagine a baby's mouth cut open, blood pouring out, and the inside of their belly cut and bleeding." I should have warned about that because that was fucking horrible. But
yeah. What? And he has children.
What a sadistic fucker.
Yeah.
Like, how are you even thinking of that? Bizarre. So.
Gross.
What? Who is Nigel?
Yes, who is he?
Right. So Nigel Wright was a sheep farmer.
Okay.
And he had been the youngest ever chairman of the Grimsby Conservative Association at the age of 29.
Okay.
Right. So Grimsby is a fucking hilariously named town.
Yes.
In England.
Yeah.
And the Conservatives are basically Tories. So mm-hmm. they're like the for you Americans or anyone else out there, Tories are Republicans.
Right.
Like
right wing.
Right wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're right wing. They're a right wing political party that are in right now, and I fucking hate the Tories, and I don't like anyone that is Tory, anyone that voted Tory, and I've got a necklace that says fuck the Tories and fuck you Tories, basically.
So it's clear that Talissa does not like the Tories.
If you ever, yeah, if you're ever confused, skip back 30 seconds to listen to that again. Yes. So, yeah, and the headline was like, ex-Tory MP poisons baby food. And I was like, I knew it. They are all evil.
Yeah.
That's why I was smug when I read the headline. Yeah.
With especially like Republicans, and I'm sure it's the same with the Tories in England, they really focus on like family and like taking care of your family. And
I know, right?
It's such bullshit.
Like, oh, moral fucking high ground. Yeah. Like, yeah. Think they're better than everyone.
Right.
Baby poisoners.
Yeah.
No, that's yep. a bit far, but you know what I mean. Fucking Ted Bundy was a Republican, mate. That's all you need to say.
Yeah.
Although John Gacy was a Democrat, so that kind of is confusing.
I don't think that we need to dwell on serial killers' political takes.
The political leanings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it gets worse.
Okay.
So in 2010, he joined UKIP, which is the UK Independence Party.
Mm-hmm.
So they are the fucking cunts that want to leave Europe.
Right.
They're the fucking cunts that go, oh, we're not racist. We just don't want Muslim people here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like Muslim, like thinking that Islam is a race and right. they're all terrorists is basically the UKIP belief. Like,
and that's all their focus is on. That's what they focus on.
So they're awful.
Yeah.
So he's awful, easily identifiably by those 2 points. But yeah, you know, you said like they're really pious in terms of like, oh, we like family and stuff.
Right.
Well, campaigning for the Freshney Ward, age 28. I don't know what the Freshney Ward is. He said, "My aim is to make the community a clean and safer place where children can play happily and people do not fear to venture out after dark."
Sure, bro.
You're the risk.
Right. You're the problem.
Get rid of you.
Clean yourself up,
you're
dude.
What I fear. Children can play happily with their mouths bleeding.
Oh.
Because of you.
Yeah.
So in a debate about school exclusions, he said, as in like, so if you're naughty at school, you get excluded.
Yeah.
Which is not, you're not expelled. You just can't go to school for a bit.
Okay.
Basically,
yeah.
That's like a punishment in England, in English schools. So he said schools should not have their hands tied in order to expel unruly kids. So he's basically saying like that just whiffs of corporal punishment
right.
to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It whiffs of bring back the cane.
teachers should be allowed to hit kids.
That's what I'm getting from that.
Right. Yes.
Cool. I mean, call me biased, but I think that's what that sounds like. And then when someone shot a swan.
Okay.
Which is a whole other episode.
Yeah.
on the River Freshney, he told the Grimsby Telegraph, unfortunately, there are people out and about who take pleasure out of doing this. And he called for people to be more responsible.
Oh, thanks.
It's just so irritating to hear him spout like all this fucking holier than thou stuff when he's a monster.
Right.
Yeah. So when his trial started at the Old Bailey, Wright admitted to sending the emails and the letters to Tesco demanding the money, and he admitted to planting a tampered jar in Lockerbie, but he denied planting them in Rochdale. I guess that's just the one that he got caught for, basically, on CCTV.
Yeah.
So he couldn't deny it. He claimed he had been forced into it by travellers who had threatened to rape his wife and hang his children.
God.
You are, you fucking ex-UKIP member, and you're blaming travellers. This is the American equivalent of going, a black guy did it.
Yeah.
No, it's the English equivalent of going, I don't know, some black guy did it.
Right, right.
Just pick a random minority and blame them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he claimed that he'd been forced into it by travellers who had threatened to rape his wife and hang his children from the trees unless he paid them 500 grand. So asked why he ordered the company to pay him triple that amount, Wright said, I'd seen somewhere that ransoms are never paid in full. They're only half a paid.
Oh, you're so smart.
Just hedging his bets. Yeah. He said that he had been handed the contaminated jars by one of his alleged traveller blackmailers, who followed him into the Lockerbie store in a BMW. Well, they're doing well for themselves. Travellers don't usually drive BMWs.
Yeah.
They usually drive horse and cart.
Right. Or like an old truck.
Yeah. A white van where they can pick up scrap metal and shit.
Right.
Like, or a horse box, to make sure he carried out their orders. He admitted his threats were inspired by his own research, by watching documentaries and searching for ideas on Google.
Okay, so you had enough time between your wife and kids being threatened by travelers to go ahead and Google how you were going to write the ransom notes.
Do you know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right.
I don't want to disappoint them. Yeah.
Yeah, and a friendship ransom note, and it's nonsensical crap. So you couldn't even do that right. Yeah, so the farmer told jurors that he had also experimented with tampering with jars while maintaining he had only done so because he was curious to see if his threats had been idle. So I think what he's trying to say is, like, he wanted to make sure it could be done.
Mm.
Asked why he failed to tell the police about the travellers, Wright claimed, I've been to police in the past and they failed me. Why was he let on the stand? He's not helping himself.
I don't know.
So he complained that the stress of the blackmail campaign had landed him in marriage counselling with his wife, who was a primary school teacher. Tearfully, when asked why he didn't tell his wife, he said, my wife would have been really scared. If I told her, she would have probably gone to the police and I would have got into trouble. I was on edge this whole time.
Oh, poor you.
I should never have got involved and I should have gone to the police. Yeah. Well, shoulda, woulda, coulda. So
yeah.
Lucy Thompson, the deputy senior investigating officer, said that there was no evidence to support Wright's claim that travellers had threatened Wright and his family to
of
force
course.
Him to carry out the plot. Of course there wasn't.
Yeah.
Both the mothers testified about the metal they found in their children's food. And then on the 20th of August, Nigel Wright was convicted of 3 charges of blackmail and 2 charges of contaminating food and a further charge of blackmail for demanding £150,000 worth of Bitcoin from a driver with whom he had a road rage incident on the A46.
What?
So this pisses all over your traveller theory because
yeah.
no one was forcing you to do that.
Right. Was that guy a traveller too?
I don't know. But... He got his day in court.
This guy is so stupid.
So stupid. Wright sent the driver a letter demanding £150,000 in Bitcoin with threats to execute him with a rifle and kill his wife and children unless he complied after the incident. Mr. Justice Warby described the contents of the letter as blood-chilling. In the letter, the defendant threatened, we see you as fair game and you use violence in everyday life. Our team consists of ex-military.
Okay.
He posted Yeah, it's fucking. It makes out he's bigger than he is. Like, yeah. Our team, right? Like, yeah. He posted a photograph of the motorist, John Winter. He posted a picture of his face with bullet holes across it and wrote the words 450 yards, an apparent reference to the distance at which he had shot the target. The letter carried on to say, our experts in explosives work for many governments and organizations, and we solve many problems around the world. This is like the JonBenet letter. Eradicating our targets. We will start exterminating your family. Your family's corpses will be posted on the web to show we mean business and that you are the cause of their deaths. So, right. He was found guilty.
Okay. Yes. And then, good.
He did not get that much time.
Really?
So on Monday, October the 12th, he was sentenced to 11 years for his plot against Tesco. And a further 3 years to run consecutively for the road rage blackmail.
What?
So that's 14 years.
For trying to kill babies, he got 14 years.
Yeah. And think how much it cost the police. Like,
yeah,
$100,000 from Tesco, that's gone. I mean, we might be able to get it back, but I don't know. I doubt it. Bitcoin doesn't really work like that. Because it's not, like, governed by banks. So it's not like you can go to the... Well, there is no one. Bitcoin is decentralized. You can't... No one runs it. There is no customer service department. So that money is gone. Like,
hello, Bitcoin customer service. How can I help you today?
Hello, Mr. Bitcoin. Can I have my money back? Andrew Campbell Tyke, QC, claimed Wright was an unlikely criminal and an isolated man who probably has a high level of autism. Probably. Like, does he or doesn't he? I don't think you can just chuck that around.
Yeah.
And then Bill Jeffson, the assistant chief constable in charge of the investigation for Hertfordshire Police, described it as the most serious and most challenging product contamination case ever dealt with in the UK. And that is the story of the Tesco blackmailer.
Wow. What an insane and idiotic two men in both of our stories.
You just don't think it through.
At least your guy admitted to something.
Blamed travellers. Mate, he was bang to rights. They had him on fucking camera, like placing a fucking tin of baby food that he walked in with.
Yeah.
Like, put it on the shelf.
Oh, man.
What a fool. You'd know they'd be watching. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Surely once you've got the $100,000, like, that's, you know, that's pretty good. Like, I'd leave it at that.
Also, travellers in a BMW, I mean...
I know.
I feel like
about your backstory.
But also that if that were the case, there would be witnesses to be like, oh yeah, there was a bunch of travelers in a BMW. Like, people would have remembered that.
Yeah, it's just also you could easily see that on CCTV, surely.
Right, exactly.
Also, where's your evidence? He obviously hasn't got any. He hasn't got any. What's their name, Mr. Caravan? He's got nothing.
It reminds me of his little spiel about, like, oh, I wish I hadn't done it or whatever. Poor me.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Now.
It reminds me of this, my new favorite Instagram called Apologizing Men.
Oh, yeah, that's so good.
It's so really good. Follow it. It's just like men in movies and in the news just apologizing.
Sorry.
Yeah, poor me.
But also, I've had so many men in my life say sorry to me that I'm just like, it's a bit of a bus man's holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is a good, definitely is a good Instagram. Also, another good Instagram, Look at This Russian. That will never let you down.
Yeah, that's a great one too.
That if you need cheering up, look at an Instagram called Look at This Russian. Fucking gold.
I think one you posted or I saw recently was a man sitting in like a throne in the middle of a lake or something.
It was an armchair. It was an armchair in a lake. For some reason it was floating.
It was his
throne.
He just
had like a fag on.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, I've done a whole day's work and then I've done this podcast and like I love this podcast and I love catching up with you, but I really need a cigarette.
Yeah. It's okay. I have to start my work day, so.
Oh God. We're both on opposite sides of a shit dipstick.
We are. Yeah.
I finished a whole day, then I have to do it, and then you do it, and then you have to finish a whole day.
It's true.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. But thanks for listening. This yeah. week's episode was really fun and hope you enjoyed it.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transatlantic Crime this week. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at TransatCrimePod, Instagram at Transatlantic Crime, and on Facebook with Transatlantic Crime Podcast.
Thanks, bye.